Thanks, everyone. So, California in the late '90s. It's where I grew up. It was a funky place to grow up. It was a mixture of sort of Beat Generation, '70s, '60s, Jack Kerouac, sort of Andy Warhol, mixed generation, baby boomers. You know, a lot of them had sort of run into, you know, real estate in L.A. or .com, and they started to grow up, if you would, get a little bit older. And so in between L.A. and San Francisco, there was this sort of fantastic area on Highway 101, and it was just full of this sort of ex-cowboy, you know, ranches, all this stuff. And there's this fantastic spot called Paso Robles. And my story starts in Paso Robles with my sister and two friends from Switzerland boarding school that came back one summer to see what I was ranting on about the 3 years I was over there, about how, you know, you could cruise along and do whatever you wanted and, you know, go to punk rock shows and whatever else. And so, you know, one of these guys, Austin from Montana, traveled all over the world, and he'd never seen California. He'd never partied in California. So, you know, we wanted to show him around. And the other guy was Daniel Kalick, and he was from Tennessee. And he had some really strict parents. And, you know, he came out to California, you know, after being in boarding school in Switzerland and being just sort of blown away by how we could just get in the car and our parents would just say, look, don't get arrested and don't go to jail. I mean, those are two things that are quite connected. So just don't do any of those things and you're fine. So here they come for a couple of weeks and off we go. Now, we had gone to a couple of different punk shows, and we'd gone to Santa Barbara and these different places, you know, after school parties. And, you know, it was endless. I mean, I was 18, they were 18. My sister, she was the one with the car. She was the one with the driver's license. We had to take her in tow everywhere we went. She was fantastic, though. She was game for anything. We'd gone to a punk rock show, and we had heard about this thing happening in L.A., and so we wanted to go back through Paso Robles. And the thing that we really, really wanted to do was a Steely Dan concert. It was the county fair, you know, it was a rodeo on in the day. And so here we are, bags packed, and we're driving into town. We're driving with the windows down, sunset. We have no idea where our accommodation is. So we pull into this area, and it's actually an old wine cave that's just got bunks, and it's the cheapest place to stay in town. And we pull in, and of course, when we get in the parking lot, it's cowboys, it's horse trailers, it's all the guys from the rodeo, you know, and they're sitting on the back of their pickup trucks, Pabst Blue Ribbon, bottles of whiskey and whatever else. And so we're quick to go to the bottle store, you know, get something, go straight back and start partying. We got Steely Dan to go to tonight, and it is going to be fantastic. So my older sister, 20 years old, blonde, beautiful, tall, you know, all the work. So it was very quickly that we got a ride into town, you know, by 10 cowboys, you know, putting their hands up to give us a ride. And next thing you know, the sun's down and Steely Dan starts out with his, you know, with his any myriad of songs, you know, that you can just sing along to. And we're front row. I mean, we have beers lining our pockets, everywhere, in our belt pockets, everything, and we just get straight into it. It was such a fantastic night, and next thing I know, it's me, my friend Austin, and Dan from Tennessee. You know, we'd had a few beers by this time, and all I hear from behind me is, oh no, B, they're after us. And I turn around, and off shoots Dan, gone, just completely gone. And at that stage, I didn't realize that my sister had gone off somewhere as well. It's just me and Austin. So we're starting to freak out. We had not told anyone where we were going to be, where we'd meet up. You know, none of us knew where the accommodation was. I mean, we were in the back of a pickup truck, you know, who knows. And so off me and Austin go, arm in arm, to find everyone. And so the first thing we do is we come out of the wall of people, you know, in the front row. You have to get through the two walls, and then you get this sort of breakup area where everybody's dancing. So Austin taps me on the shoulder, and he goes, Brandon, there she is. And who's that? Who's that? Well, that's Ashley. And I ran up to Ashley and gave her a big hug, gave my sister a big hug. And Ashley is another tall, blonde, beautiful, I think probably around our age, 18-year-old. And so we get into, you know, dancing a little bit, and then we remember, oh crap, okay, well, Dan's run off. We've got to go find Dan. All right, so we're off to go find Dan, and she goes, well, does he have a fake ID? I said, we all have fake IDs. Well, I know where he'll be. He'll be at the bar. Well, okay, cool. So she takes us through. She knows everywhere to go. She lives in Paso Robles, which she told me, but at, you know, at one stage, but I didn't actually know that. Didn't know any connection. She takes us to the main stage bar, which actually ended up being the backstage bar, and here's these tall cowboy security guards, and they're like, no, mate. And off goes Ashley into the crowd. And then all of a sudden they say, hey, yeah, come on through. And there's Ashley sitting there arm in arm with Steely Dan himself. Fantastic. So we finally had to remember quickly why we were there, and so that was, of course, Dan. So off we are saying, okay, well, look, how did we get in here? She goes, oh, I'm the mayor's daughter. I can do anything I want. Cool. So off we go, and so quickly Steely Dan chucks us into his limousine with his groupies and his security guards and all this stuff, and we're off to all these bars. We go straight through, and she wins the mechanical bull riding competition. You know, she's up on stools saying, hey, Jimmy, give me a beer, you know. So she's going right through. By the time we got to the third bar, that's where her dad was present and decided that he didn't like little Ashley being out on the one night that everyone's in town. Anyway, we ran. We get to a big mansion house vineyard party, and we find Dan dancing like a sloth in front of this fire, big fire. We end up taking him, putting him on the couch. We get in the pool, you know, all these fun things. Wake up, sort of, you know, come to, I guess, in the pool. We didn't go to sleep. To Austin saying, oh, no, I think it's the SWAT team. And I said, what? Guys, grab your stuff. That's for us. Sorry? In the CB radio, I was in shock, and I had heard on the CB radio, her dad, when we ran, ordered up the sheriff and said, my daughter's been kidnapped. So we had gone around all these different places with kidnapped daughter. Anyway, so the SWAT team comes in pretty much. It was just a bunch of local sheriffs, but to us, it was the SWAT team. Luckily, the owner of the house had a nice big Cadillac, and, you know, Dan was sleeping, Michelle was sleeping, you know, and they're in the back of the car. And so off we go, and it's three abreast, me, Austin, and the driver, owner of the house, in the front seat, the back seat, my sister laying down, Dan laying on her, and he gets up, suddenly turns around, and he goes, oh, no, they're after us. Police behind us, escorting us to town. Anyway, thank you very much.